Thank you all for coming. It's good to see you here. Today is a special day. We got guest speakers, and I'm so excited. You know, just to tell you the story, because Jules went to Nepal in October, and he wanted to come up here and give a report on what had transpired there. And so we planned that for, I think it was in November. It snowed, a blizzard, and it was awful. It was the entire province, not just our area, not just their area, but the entire province. And so last minute, we had to change our plans. Then we rescheduled for February, and we got hit with a huge ice storm up here. And I told them, I said, you know what, it would probably be best if you just stay home. And, you know, Jules will probably talk a little bit more about that kind of thing, what all transpired between those times. But then he said, well, why don't we try for July? And I said, well, rodeo weekend's coming, and it very rarely snows during that the rodeo weekend. So we planned it for this. Well, then... on that last week, we ended up buying a different vehicle, and our old one, it had tires and rims that I was like, you know what, we could sell these for a good price. So Jim came over on Thursday, and we changed over to our winter tires, which are cheaper tires. And he looks at me, he's like, you do know that it's a little early for winter tires. I said, yes, but Jules is coming this weekend, so you just never know. So then Jules actually... brought his pickup with 4x4 on it again, because you just never know. So, but they're here. Yay. We're so happy. So happy for it. So a bunch of years ago, I think Gordon, remind me, when did you go first to Nepal? Was that in 12? 2010. Okay. So Gordon all of a sudden went down to Nepal. He was asked by someone down in Spruce Grove, Stony Plain area to go with him. So Gordon went along, went to Nepal, and he fell in love with it and went a few times. And one of those times, he took Jules. And in 2013, you said? Yeah, okay. In 2013, Jules and Gordon went. So, and then Jules has now been there 5 times and has a tremendous testimony that he's going to talk about today about what happened there. And you know what? It all started. Gordon, I just thank you so much for starting that ministry. It's just amazing from what I hear and what's going to be transpiring. What you're going to hear about today is just amazing. And it started because Gordon went first and he planted the seeds, and the fruit is now, you're going to hear about it today. And it's an amazing story. I hope you will be touched with what Jules has to say. So without further ado, I want to call up my good friend, one that I know is going to be, oh my goodness, I'm tearing up already. This is one of those lifelong ones. It was just an unexpected thing. On Mother's Day in 2010, this man showed up. We had a little bit of a brunch downstairs. He showed up with Roger Smiley, and later on he ended up bringing the family, but he just decided this is going to be their home, and he is a part of our family. God bless you, buddy. Yeah.
So I already knew I was going to do some crying. I didn't think it was going to start in worship, because this is a lovely cry. Even though it might be an ugly cry, it's a lovely cry. It's so good to, after 7 years, come back to a place where we called home, and we raised our children here. And okay, don't look at Pam. Sorry. Okay. Composure. We can do this. Holy Spirit, help me. Yeah. When Jen started singing, God, You're So Faithful. Stop. I only have a few minutes. We got a clock. I got to stick to the clock. My wife said, you better stick to the clock. Yeah. So I spoke with Gordon last night on the phone to give him a little heads up that I would like to honor him for what God did in his life, and through his life has bared fruit now for the last 12 years. And not just Nepal, Japan also. I have gone twice now. Tilak lives in Japan, and he's a spiritual son to me now. And my introduction to Tilak, Gordon will remember, we wanted to bless the leadership, and Tilak has never seen a Western toilet, let alone a bidet. And so for them, it was a hole in the ground. And before going out to dinner, Tilak wanted to go to the toilet, so that's fine. He comes out, his hair is all nice and wet, his face washed up, so we're thinking he's just washing up for dinner. We go to dinner, we come back to the hotel. Gordon goes in the bathroom, comes back out and goes, did Tilak have a shower? Like, the whole bathroom was just wet. And I'm like, I don't think so. And then we realize, because he's used to the hole in the ground, they have a tap that you would use for the water as a flushing system. Cup, dump it in the hole. Well, I guess Tilak thought that the water tap was the flushing system, not the lever you push. So the bidet that is perfectly aimed as you're leaning in, he washed his face. And so the next day, when we were going to minister at the daughter church, that Maranatha church, and Maranatha church is the one that Gordon introduced me to in Nepal back in 2013, where we went there and I asked Tilak, and so when you have a brown Asian man turn tomato red, you know you analyze the situation correctly. And Kalu didn't fully comprehend what was doing. Now, Kalu, Pastor Kalu, is the lead pastor of Maranatha Church, who I met, and we have been like family. I've watched his kids grow up. He's watched my kids grow up now, and now he's also seen that Eleanor and I are grandparents times two within less than a month. Brianna had a daughter, Asher May, and then, well, before that, Shalisha had a son, Oliver Azariah, so we became a grandparent in less than a month, and so he watched all this. So the beauty of the situation is when we explain to Kalu. Now, Kalu, when he laughs, you can hear his cack laugh on the other side of the ocean. And so once we explained it to him and he laughed so loud, then Tilak wasn't so embarrassed, because he realized his leader slash father in the faith thought it was great, funny, and joy. So then he was like, okay, I'm okay. So that was my introduction to the man who now has been my introduction to Japan. And Gordon, I blame you. I'm sorry, in front of everybody, I do have to blame you, that the fruit of the spearhead of St. Jules, I'd like somebody to come to Nepal with me, and I put out a fleece to the congregate, well, to the church, saying, well, if this is of God, then the church will pay for my flight ticket. And the membership said, yep, we'll pay for the flight ticket. I paid for all my other stuff, but it was wonderful. It was a blessing. And that was the beginning of me going to Nepal. And now here we are 12 years later. I have gone 5 times, 2 times to Japan due to the spinoff of Tilak. And they last year celebrated 25 years as a ministry. Now, for those of you that don't know much about Nepal, Nepal is a prominent Hindu country and Buddhist country. So at the time in 2013, when I did a little research, Christianity wasn't even 1% of the population, and they have way bigger population than we have here, even though they're a very small landmass. So they celebrated 25 years, and one thing that Pastor Kalu really wanted to do in recognition of this house was honor you with a thank you letter. Some of you weren't here at that time, so you get to actually be included in this family situation. And I'm just going to read it to you very quickly. Yep, I'm a grandfather. That's right. Hallelujah. My wife says I look like Superman Clark Kent. Just kidding. She never said that. I wish she would. On behalf of Maranatha Church Poker in Nepal, we wish to express our heartfelt gratitude to Manning Family Worship Center Canada for your incredible support in helping us acquire a plot of land that was beside our existing plot of land back in year 2013. We deeply appreciate your prayer and financial support. When we started constructing the Maranatha Church building, within 1 month, the pandemic, COVID, started. By the grace of God, we were able to complete the construction of the church building within 20 months. 1 month later, as we completed the church building, the pandemic COVID came to an end. It is a great blessing for our community and congregation as we have grown to a membership of 600 with a regular attendance to 350-400 every Saturday's worship service. We have a main service hall that has the capacity of around 400 people, a seminar hall that has a capacity of around 80 people, two guest rooms, a prayer room, a kitchen, and an office. Maranatha Church Pokhara has been spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and planting churches in different unreached villages in Nepal. We have three branch churches and some cell groups running for the kingdom of God. Our prayer is to reach every unreached place and share the love of Jesus. We just celebrated our church 25th anniversary on August 28th, 2024. Once again, thank you all very much. Signed, Pastor Kalu Tamang, Maranatha Church. Leaders and family. So with that, the person that I will hand this part off is not Gordon. It's actually Leonard. Leonard stood up and said, you know what? Because Nepal is one of those nations where we cannot, as a church organization, give correctly. So he privately said, I will help gather the finances and we'll send them off. And so on December 16th, 2013, we, Manning Family Worship Center, sent $13,980, which helped them purchase that plot of land. Leonard, if you could come up, please, on behalf of Family Worship Center in Manning, and receive this extreme letter of gratitude because you took a risk. It is a little bit of a risk financially, but you did it. And so Maranatha Church in Pokhara says thank you. We smile to Kalu. He's watching the live stream. We have another one. So he said, is it okay if I give it to Gordon? Now, if you know Gordon, he doesn't like the spotlight. And last two Sundays ago at church, we were breaking lies of the spirit realm. And we were using sticks, breaking the stick and saying, we break this lie. And then we can burn it in the fire because lies need to be ashes. And so there was this big, thick stick. And Pastor Danny said a lie, and he goes, well, no, hold on. He put that one down. He says, I can't break that one, but Jules can with his bicep, and he grabs this little tiny stick, and he breaks that one. And then all of a sudden, he mentioned honoring Carlene, one of our members who did this community thing, and it was really amazing. So I stood up, and I clapped over the top, embarrassing so. And I knew in that moment I needed to go break that stick and break the lie of honoring people publicly. We're not worshiping people. We worship God for the blessing that he has influenced people to do things. And so I say that because my heel, when I broke the stick, was too big for my bicep. I put the stick down on a step and I went like this. I bruised my heel. When I crushed the head of the lie, I bruised my heel. I can't get any more biblical than that. And it hurt for almost a week, like the bone hurt. So if I could ask you, for the sake of honoring the way this person would like to be honored, let's not clap, but be grateful for who he has been in my life. And because of him, there is an everlasting fruit that is not only in Nepal now, it's also in Japan. So Gordon, if I could ask you to come up. This is not from Jules. This is from Maranatha Church in Pokhara, Nepal. And in this wonderful purple box that they gave me, they like to to make what they call tokens of love. So this is a token of love and appreciation, celebrating their silver jubilee on the 2024 August 28th, Manning Family Worship Center, Canada, a token of love from Maranatha Church, Pokhara. And this has been brought here from me, from them. I'm like the middleman. You were an influence that helped bring it together. So you do deserve honor, Gordon. You do. The things of your past, as hard as these past couple of years have been for you, but the things of your past, the fruit is coming forth. And I am one of them. And so I'm going to hug you in front of everybody, okay? Yep.
So you take that with you. Do you want to say something? You do.
Well, it's really wonderful to see the way that things have developed in Jules's life and over in Nepal. It was very good, very good. I remember the first time we were there together. I forget just exactly why it was, but I said, I have to stay in Kathmandu and do some more things. And I could see that Jules really didn't like Kathmandu. He was itching to go up country. So I said, okay, I'm going to send you up there by yourself, which was something for him because this is a brand new country and he doesn't know very much. And I sent him to the airport. I notified Kalu that he was going to be coming. And I don't remember just exactly what all happened, but there were things that stressed him even at the airport before he left Kathmandu. He used to be an airport manager here, and he knows all of the routines that a pilot goes through. You taxi out to the runway, you have your checklist to go through, and when you've done your checklist, then you go. Not there. They taxied out to the runway, burned a Huey, and took off, much to his dismay. But it was a good move because when he got to Pokhara, where the church was, then this little fella, Kalu, met him. And when I came up the next day or two, Jules was on cloud 9, 10 if there is one, because he had found his soulmate. And he has been that way ever since. It was a good thing. And he's had ups and downs. One of the downs was I told Jules, I said, okay, our plane is leaving on Thursday, let's say. We have to go to Kathmandu on Wednesday. And my reaction from him was, why? We could go down there on Thursday. We don't have to leave until about 11 o'clock that night. We're wasting all of that time. I said, Jules, you don't understand. In this country, things can go on, stand on their head anytime. And you have to allow that kind of time. Well, he was a very sulky person. Very sulky. I can admit it. The next year, when he was by himself, forget what Gordon said. It's leaving, let's say, on Thursday. I'm going down on Thursday. Well, the airport closed. Or something like that.
Yeah. Weather cancellation. International flights got to go, but the local domestic flights were stopped.
So Jules missed his flight.
No. They said I was on it.
But you weren't.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I think after that, he's more careful about allowing time than he was at that time.
Okay, you're humbling me really well right now.
But that's part of missions trips. Learning a new culture, learning things from your mentor, and just profiting both ways. I profited from my time with Jules as well. So it was good. It was a very, very good partnership that we had, and I really, really, really valued it. And he's my brother.
Thank you. He says brother, but he's a spiritual father in my life, which was a moment in time that it was very important for me. Thank you, sir. Okay, one last story really fast, 30 seconds fast. So if you can carry on, hear me. So while we were going through the security in their airport, I went first. And it's like a curtain, a little box, a curtain you go through. So the little Nepali guy is like feeling me up, and then he stops at my biceps and goes, oh, right? So then we have this little banter together, and it was great. So I was able to see that this Nepali security guy is kind of relaxed. I go out of the curtain. Stoic Mr. Gordon walks in the curtain for his security check. I peep my head in and I said, he needs a strip search. You would have thought death came over his face. He says, you don't joke like that. But he didn't know I already had the banter moment with the guy. So it was good, not so good for Gordon. So that, you know, yeah, I had to learn to respect my elders. Still trying. Yeah, this is going a little bit longer than I expected. I do have a tour for you of the building that you helped purchase the land as Manning Family Worship Center. The tour is done by Lucas Tamang, who was my translator when I was there. His English is pretty good, so hopefully you'll be able to understand his accent. 6 minutes long. I hope it's enjoyable. And if it's not, let's shut it off and move on. Just kidding. I'm kidding, Kalu. I know you're watching.
This is Maranatha Church from the backyard. And I will tell every detail. It's about Maranatha Church. So let's go inside. So this is the boundary of Maranatha Church. As you can see, the gates. And this area. We are having this area in a lease for 5 years. When there is any program, we had a lunch in this area. Yeah, so this is our gate, Maranatha Church. So as we enter into the room, this is a small something like pond. This is for the baptism, so this is a little bit unclean, but whenever we had a baptism, we do baptism here. We put the water here and we do baptism here. And this is the main entrance, and so this is the main service hall. I will show you from the other side. Yeah, so this is a restroom for old people, and that's me. So this is the main service hall. This is another fellowship going on. This is main service hall. Where we do main service hall. brown toilet here. Yeah. You can see the toilet. Let's go upstairs. So as we go upstairs, there's a mirror welcoming everyone. Okay, as we come here, I'll show you one room. This is guest room one. Yeah. So this guest room has attached bathroom, as you can see here. So every guest of Maranatha Church have a privilege to stay here. So let's go this way. Let me show you one room. This is our seminar hall, where like almost 80 people can gather here for a small meeting. And Sunday school teaching and fellowship is held here. And that's our trophy from the sports ministry. So this is seminar hall. This is storeroom where we have kept our blankets and everything. And there's one room. This is guest room two. It doesn't have attached bathroom. We have to go that restroom. And this is a computer room where we print our stuff and our administrative activities, like preparing messages, everything. There's a printing machine. There's a Bible. And this is office room, as you can see. And this our pastor Kalu. And yeah, this is first floor. Let's go upstairs. Yeah, see the view. Again, there's one mirror welcoming us. Area where something like 100 people we gather here for lunch. And let me show you, this is our kitchen. And this is our prayer room. If somebody wants to pray, they can come here and pray. And that's the playground where we play soccer, where we had a sports activities there. And yeah, you can see this is slum area. Thank you.
So Gordon said that soccer area is not part of the church, it's part of the town, but that's where they do what's called sports ministry. What is that? Well, in that country, it's illegal to evangelize. You will be put in jail. You will be stoned by the radical Hindus. Like, they will like beat you up and everything there if you do any type of form of evangelism. So what they've done is they become very creative by involving their church in sports. And they're so good at the sports that they're winning trophies. That's why they're like, it's like, hey, let me show you God is in us. God is working with us. And it's not about, oh, God bless us. It's about, hey, we want to influence us, that influence the community that, hey, there's something about us that's a little better. You should check it out, right? So it's a way that you're not forcing evangelism, but it draws people to come to the church and they hear the word. Because in the church, you're allowed to talk about being saved. So that's something that they do. So that structure, which is looks like a little box, doesn't it? Beautiful, debt-free, built by Maranatha Church during the pandemic. And now it is well used. It is the main hub for all the other little activities that they do in other communities. Another creative thing that they're doing now is like to help the unprivileged children who can't afford schooling. They have educated Christians who are going and willing to teach these kids as a means of not only bettering them practically, but also being able to speak the gospel. So that's another creative thing. And then there's also like work creativity that they do in communities to go help rebuild, especially after earthquakes, because they are prone to earthquakes there and typhoons, lots of rain. So on the trip that I went this time, they had a rain, unexpected typhoon rain, did a lot of washout. So what should have taken me only about an 8-hour trip to the little village of Tawal to do the youth conference turned out to be 14 hours. So Gordon was right. I can be a little sour sometimes. So when you're a big man packed in a little Jeep, you're whining and griping, and then you're like, okay, Jesus, please forgive me. I need to find a good attitude. I'll tell you, that conference was amazing. God showed up in such a powerful way. So we're going to change gears now. That's our little blip. If you have any questions you'd like to learn more about Nepal, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. But I believe Holy Spirit, after two times of trying to get up here, preparing for a blizzard as I came, that's why I drove up in the 4x4 truck, which the fuel is a little more pricey, but I was not going to give the devil or the demonic force any chance to stop us from coming this time. And I was like, Corey, we should be there around 2 p.m. unless Holy Spirit diverts us on something. Well, lo and behold, there's some people on the side of the road that need a flat tire changed. And of course, nobody had the right size socket for their lug nuts. And so we got creative. And praise God for creativity. It worked. We got it changed. And they were on their merry way to Peace River to get new tire and then Grand Prairie. So that was a little bit of adventure to get here too, which is odd. Like, what is up with you guys? Like, do you not want guest speakers or what? Like, one blizzard. Okay, I get it. Two? Okay, that's a little bit much. Now I'm getting spiritual, and I'm like, okay, well, Jesus was asleep in the boat when the disciples were a little worried about the storm on the water. So, hey, Jesus, can you stand up and say, peace, be still, we're going to the other side? We made it to the other side. Hallelujah, we're here. I brought a guest speaker with me. She's pretty good looking, actually. Yeah, I'm biased. She's amazing. Her and I have been team ministering for quite a couple years now, as we are the altar minister leaders. So after a message, we have prayer teams, and Eleanor and I have been kind of like team ministering. And so this, in the place where we were established for quite a while, raising our kids, we have the opportunity to team preach. This past 7 years for Eleanor has been a platform season. For me, it's been get a good attitude, Jewel season, because nothing went the way I thought it was going to go. But praise the Lord, all I could keep saying was, I trust you, Jesus. Doesn't look like anything I was going to go, but I trust you. As I'm watching Eleanor rise, succeed, acclimation, beautiful, so I became her cheerleader. I look good in a skirt. I never wore one, but I imagined it. And she is phenomenal. And like, especially this last year where she has been forced to the platform a little more with our church, Kingsgate Church in Cochrane, Alberta. And I'm just watching Holy Spirit work through her. It has just been amazing, the power, and even for her to step out to speak words of knowledge to people, like, which is totally not what she cares to do. She likes to sit with back row, happy back there, but that's against the prophecies that she had for years. So she can't fight the prophecies anymore. I'm going to invite her up, and as she comes up, I have a corporate word. And I got it quite a few weeks ago. I shared it with Pastor Corey to make sure that whether it was just for the leadership or where it's for the house. And he agrees it's okay to share it. So, you know, when you move in the office of a prophet shouldn't just come in thinking I can just do whatever I want in anyone's house. That's not appropriate. Right. So if you ever knew me and my craziness and my exhibitionist type of character, it's just who I am. But in it all, I always continued to learn submission to the authority of the house. And that's so important as a prophet. So that's why I make sure to just share that with you, with the mantle of what I'm about to share is a prophetic word. But it's not like thus saith the Lord. No, this is I just heard Holy Spirit say, you know, you're called Manning Family Worship Center. The word family is not just a title. It is a personality. It is a being. You are being. You be family. And in families, some stay. They stay. Longevity, you know, the pioneering, the long-term family, some stay. But some move on. You know, when the children grow up, family members grow up and they graduate to go on to the next level. But one thing, and that's what we just, and it's kind of interesting because it wasn't just like, oh, ooh, I'm all spooky hearing the word of the Lord, but it flows with what just happened also with this house and honoring of what kind of Gordon influenced into my life with Nepal. And that is that the influence of this house as a family to the people that may move on or the people that stay, you're influencing will bear fruit wherever they go. You will have local thank you. The mic is there. You're welcome to help. Local fruit, and then you will have international fruit. Gordon, I stand here as a representative of international fruit. You sit here as a representative of the Manning Family Worship Center, faithfully, continually. And I can tell you, in God has sojourned us a lot in our 25 years of marriage. And I have never, in all the places, and we've gone to many different types of church, different types of denominations, as you want to call it, but 19 years to have the same lead pastor, that's faithfulness, that's family, that's commitment, that no matter through the hard times, no matter how many people will try to stab you in the back or how many people, you know, that's the bad side. On the good side, the compliments, the faithfulness, the wondering, well, God, you know, I'm still here. That's right. Keep on keeping on. Because Matthew 7, verse 24 says, they that hear my word and believe it, are the house built on a rock. That rock was not going to shake or crumble in the storms. And I tell you, storms tried to prevent us from being here. Storm tried to prevent me from getting to that youth conference in Nepal. I needed to get a good attitude about it. Thank God I did. And God showed up in such a loving father way. Daddy God hugging people. There's a lot of just beautiful soul healing that took place. And the second part of this house, the word that God has shown me is, I know that this house has been wondering, because I was part of the planning to build a new building committee back in the day. You got blessed with land, and Eleanor and I are part of the executive leadership for Kingsgate with financing and budgeting and stuff. And I have also been associated in the past with the leaders and knowing how churches are with their finances and things. No church has ever had so much finances as this church has. So not only are you blessed with finances and blessed with land, it's not to go, oh, well, what do we do? It's to say this word from Holy Spirit. David collected. King David was to collect for the building of honoring a temple to the Lord. The next generation that came up, Solomon, built. Don't undermine when you're wondering, what do we do with this? Are we just being hoarders? Nope. It is a time and a season that the Lord has allowed you to collect for the generation that will build, and they will be able to build with ease and simplicity and not stress like the stress that some of us have dealt with. And then the glory came, and they couldn't even enter the temple. But the glory is here. Like, God's presence is here. It's beautiful. So, without continuing on, I would like to introduce you to my co-ministering preacher. She is much better looking than me, and she smiles more too. I am happy, by the way. People keep saying, why aren't you happy? I'm really happy. I relax my face, so I got to learn to use those smile muscles.
Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, we just honor you today as Lord and King over this house and over our lives. We worship you. And we ask, Father, that this word is your word. Less of us and more of you, for you are holy and you are righteous and you are all God. You are a God who heals, a God who restores, a God who brings hope in hopelessness. And we just honor you today. Amen. If you have a Bible with you, if you want to open with me to Jeremiah 29. So we all know Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And that's a beautiful scripture in and of itself. But the story is much bigger than that. The story is of the Israelites who were taken captive, not once, but twice, that were in captivity in Babylon, who were slaves in many ways to their captor, that didn't have the freedom to leave the country, and that was because of their disobedience. And then there were these lovely prophets who came and said, oh, just, you know, within 2 years, you're going to be set free. You're going to be released back. And here comes Jeremiah and says, wait a minute. That's not what God is saying at all. And so if we backtrack a few verses in Jeremiah, it's actually God speaking a different story to them. In the midst of oppression, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of that where all they want is a hope. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you feel so hopeless and you're like, I just want something to hold on to give me through the next day? And so it seems very pretty when the prophet says, oh, you know, soon. And the scripture says 70 years, right? And how do you stay hopeful in that place? And in verse number 5, it says, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not decease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, and you will have welfare. Pray for the city who is holding you captive. Pray for their welfare. Pray for their well-being. Pray that they don't just thrive or survive, but that they thrive. So in your life, do you have pieces that are keeping you captive, that are holding you back, that feel like a chain? Maybe it's a job. Maybe you feel that you're not thriving in the area that you're living. And God says, pray for the well-being. Maybe you don't like your local reeve or mayor. Maybe you don't like the political party in charge of Alberta or the country. And God says, pray on its behalf. For if they have welfare, you have welfare. So God is challenging us to stop looking at just where we're at, but challenging to look bigger than the here and now. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And, you know, it says over and over again, there will be false prophets. We know that. So the words that you hear, even my words, test it. Challenge it. Seek God's word. Go deeper than just the feel-good verses in the Bible. And there's a lot of feel-good verses, but there's also stuff that is supposed to challenge us, supposed to draw us deeper, supposed to draw us into greater intimacy with him. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years has completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and I and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts. I will be found, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortune and gather you from all the nations and from all the places that have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you in exile. So we are part of Kingsgate Church in Cochrane now. And about a year ago, our senior pastor at the time was found out to have been unfaithful to his wife, not just once, but multiple times. And I can tell you that that does something to your heart. When God says enough, not in my house, and his holiness reigns, and he comes and says, I'm going to uproot that seed from the house because my house is built on holiness. And I think for our house, you know, the hard part, when you're in leadership in a house, you're like, oh gosh. Like, if you know me, I don't like confrontation, not even a little bit. I avoid conflict, and I'm learning to maneuver my way through conflict. You know, when you're a manager, you have to people manage, and sometimes that comes with conflict, and it's not always smooth. And God asks us to stay grounded and stay there, and that means you're facing the hurt of the body. And the heartache that comes with the breach of trust in that place. And that's where Jeremiah really spoke to me, as in the midst of that heartache, in the midst of brokenness, God says, I still have plans for you. I still have a hope for you. I need you to build a house. I need you to have kids, plant your gardens. I need you to be fruitful and multiply. I need you to not live stagnant. And sometimes when we are faced with calamity, when we are faced with trouble, when we are faced with things that don't go our way, sometimes we become stagnant. Like, in all honesty, what I wanted to do is just stay in my house and hide, and I did not want to go to church. And the day that the announcement was going to be made to the congregation, one of the worship leaders says to me, Eleanor, will you sit with me up front? And I'm like, No, I don't want to sit up front. I want to sit in the back and I want to hide away. I don't want anybody to see me because I know what's coming. You don't, but I do. And I'm like, yes, Heather, I'll sit with you. Kleenex box with me because I knew it was going to be needed. And then that Sunday, as I'm driving to church, the now associate pastors who overnight became the senior pastors are like, hey, Eleanor, do you want to open service? And everything inside me is like, no. I don't want to open service. I don't want the mic. I don't know. I want to hide in the back. I'm not too sure if I'm staying. I don't know if I can do this. And God says, I need you to go forward. And I opened the service with fear and trembling because I'm like, I got stuff in my life. We all have stuff in our life that we haven't submitted to God. The areas that God is asking of us, will you step into my holiness? Will you step into my presence? Will you step into my fullness? And we're like, no, but I'm comfortable here, Lord. I'm comfortable on my seat. I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to step out. I don't want to be stretched. And God is stretching. And I think Jeremiah really speaks to that, say, like, even in the midst of what you're facing, and even in the midst of what feels like unsettling, will you come and will you still plant roots? Will you still be fruitful? Because I know the plans. Those are not your plans. Those are his plans. I know the plans that I have for you. They're to give you a hope and a future. So if you're here today and you're like, but Eleanor, you don't know what I'm facing. No, I don't. But I was here when our oldest daughter passed away. I was in this church when what I thought was just going to be a phone call ended up changing my life forever. And it felt hopeless. And it felt like I have nothing to give. And I'm grateful for friends who showed up and were just like Kleenex box and food in hand. Pam was one of them that showed up at our house and just loved on us. And yet God says, Eleanor, I know the plans I have for you. And so you plant roots and you dig deep and you hold on to the hope that comes from Christ in the midst of it. Because as Jules will say, I lost my dance. And that's true. I used to dance. I used to dance in the kitchen when I made food. And I think it was 5 years in that it was Christmas and it was dancing and I stopped and I'm like, oh, that's the first time in 5 years that I've danced. Making dinner.
Don't undermine the time to mourn. Mm. It's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in the midst of still planting and going and rooting, like God's promise to you, God's promise to you is of a hope and a future. And he works through your circumstances and in your situation. And the enemy wants to rob you of hope. But God is the God of hope for the hopeless and healing for the broken. And he wants to bring deliverance and freedom. And he wants people to step into his holiness and what he's asking. Will you just seek me? Because I will be found by you. Will you hold on to me and grasp onto me? Because I want to be the filler of that hopelessness.
So I want to tell you a story. It's a fish story, and it's a biblical fish story, but it has a slightly different spin. I heard it from this man named Reggie Dabbs, and I never forgot it. I'll have a little bit of a spin on it to line up with Eleanor's wonderful emotional topic. So there's a fish. He's a young fish, happy as can be, full of energy, swimming around. Look at me. I got the whole pond. It's mine. Oh, wait. It's not just a pond, it's an ocean. It's a sea, a big sea. It's a sea, maybe of Galilee. And I can swim around, and I am going to my buddies, and we are just eating away whatever we can eat and enjoying our day, getting all fat and all like a guppy fish could do. So here we are, we're nice big fat fish. And then all of a sudden, he's hanging with his buddies, and you know, like they talk, the fish talk. Right? Good fish talk. Everybody hangs around, talks. And then the next day, when he got together with his buddies, he was no longer talking. No longer. And they couldn't understand it. They're like, wow, he's weird. Why is he being weird? He wants to tell them he had a God experience. At one moment in time, as he was swimming home to tell mom about his fun fish day with his fish buddies, there was a shiny item in the ground. And everything inside of him said, you gotta swallow that. So in it went. I cleaned it, by the way. So he couldn't talk anymore. Because he had a divine God moment that overwhelmed him so much that he obeyed to a degree that made him weird now. And his fish buddies are like, you got to go swim in your own pond, buddy. We don't want to swim around you anymore. You're weird. And then you sit there with your fins opened wide like you're, you know, something to do with the sun, S-U-N or S-O-N, worshiping. Like, that's a strange action for us fish to just sit still when, you know, the big fish could come along and eat you up. You're a strange fish. So they started to ignore him for a while. Time goes by. Even mom fish was like, you're really weird. I don't understand you. You're not telling me anything. You're not talking to me anymore. I don't understand why you won't open your mouth. You're going skinny because you're not eating anymore. Why are you fasting so much? You're my son, and I don't want to see you get so frail. Why are you doing this? And he couldn't talk. Out of pure obedience. This coin was a coin that we bought when we went to the Noah's Ark boat display in the Netherlands. And I've had it a very long time. Perfect for this example, salvation. And then all of a sudden, one morning, that fish woke up. He's got no more friends. He's all alone. But he still worships. His fins are wide open because he knows, you told me, God, I saw that shiny thing in this overwhelming experience, and I just obeyed. And I have been obeying your word. When I look kooky to people, I look weird. But I'm still here. But I got no friends because I'm different. And then all of a sudden, that morning, an overwhelming sensation is, go to the shoreline over there. And when you see this hook thing, I want you to open your mouth for the first time in many, many days and grab on. So that fish went, and all of a sudden, whew, he grabbed it. Matthew 17, verse 27. However, in order not to give offense and cause to them to stumble, that is, to cause them to judge unfavorably and unjustly, go down to the sea and throw in a hook. Take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find there a shekel. Take it and give it to them to pay the temple tax for me, Jesus, and yourself, Peter, who was a fisherman. This fish lost friends because he would no longer go and hang out with his buddies and eat whatever they could eat or even do the fish talk. But he obeyed and he worshiped. Because God had a plan for a divine time, a divine appointment. And it was for Jesus. For Jesus' sake, the coin then came out. The fish, I'm hoping, was put back in. Let's go with that part. The fish was released because it was about the coin. It wasn't about eating the fish. So the fish gets to go back and have his fish friend buddies again. And now he fulfilled what he needed to do for God's plan, because he needed to fatten back up, because he was pretty skinny. I could tell you from experience, since 1997, I'm not the fisherman. I've been a fish. And there's many of you here wondering, what about me? How come people don't understand me? How come in the midst of a hard place where it seems like this isn't my promised land? This isn't where I'm supposed to be. Like, I had prophecy spoken over me. Like, why here, God? Well, God says pray so that the good welfare of those around you and their community can be blessed and you'll be blessed. And just continue to be fruitful where you are. Because I tell you, there is a promise that his plans for you are for good. And it may look kooky to others, but if you know that you know that you heard that you need to eat the coin, which I don't recommend eating coins, but that's an example, obedience. Because God has a divine time and a divine place where in that moment, that obedience will be for the purpose of Jesus. And in that story, it has nothing to do with glory. It has to do with paying tax so no one is offended or caused to stumble because his message of good news, we don't need stumbling blocks. It was beautiful that I got to talk to Gordon last night on the phone, and he shared openly with me about how, publicly his conduct is. Because I'm an over-the-top guy. I'm an extremist, right? Eleanor doesn't like confrontation. I don't like confrontation, but I don't run from it. And so it looks like I look for confrontation, right? So I'm this like exuberant type of personality, and that's who I am. And so then Gordon shared with me, you want to honor me, that's great, but can you please not do it the way you would normally do it? Because I'm over the top. And I'm like, okay, I will do it hopefully to the best ability to honor you, Gordon, because Gordon deserves to be honored. Faithfulness deserves to be honored. Eleanor shared the testimony of what we as a church have gone through in a while. The reason I think Holy Spirit said, hey, I want you to team preach, is to show faithfulness in the pulpit. We're so used to the one-man minister show. Can you come up? One-man minister show. But what about the one covenant minister show? This is to brag on Jesus, okay? But I'm going to use our lives as an example. Eleanor grew up with like Christianity in her life, or pastor's grandchild, so PK kid, that type of lifestyle, like a very formal Dutch reform to then she went to Pentecostal over the top black church. Awesome. Glad she got that, because then she met me. I'm not raised church kid. I was 21 years old when I met Jesus. I picked up the coin and it's still in my mouth in a way. So really, I gave her plenty of opportunity to say, oh, hell no, as a personality. But unfortunately, she had a prayer diary. And in her prayer diary, she said, my husband will be like this, 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 this. And yes, I met every criteria in her prayer diary, so now she was stuck with me. Faithfulness takes work. Commitment takes work. In a society that has so much prevalent sin surrounding us and saying, here on a silver platter, come dish in to this sin, eat as much as you want. Don't worry, it's okay because everybody says it's okay. The world says it's okay. It's okay to walk around naked and do whatever you want. Or it's okay to sleep with whoever you want, because it doesn't matter who you hurt in the wake behind you as long as you're happy. If you're happy, that's all that matters. No, it takes work to nourish your relationship, commitment, faithfulness. Pray for the leaders that we may not agree with. Pray for your add fill in here that might upset and rub you the wrong way. And you may not want to pray. But if you can just say, Jesus, help me pray first, it's amazing how you can overcome your own bitterness, your own hurts, your own pains. So
while Jules looks up something else he has written down, one of the beauties, right, that comes out of ashes, and even I see that in Kingsgate, is the former pastor and his wife are working to reconcile. But there's a lot of healing, a lot of therapy that's going on, maybe some deliverance in there as well as they work on that. But as a house in Kingsgate, we have seen people step up and level up. And when it's easy to just say, I'm just going to hide, I'm just going to do nothing, It is okay to say, I'm going to step out in uncomfortability because God is calling me into something that I have never done before. And that is the beauty that we're seeing in Kingsgate, in the leadership team and in the congregation, is people are stepping into what they didn't know they could do. And all of a sudden, there's that power that is unleashed when you step into obedience. Because God never asked you to be able. He asked you to be willing. He didn't ask you to be able. He just asked you to be willing. And so when we say, Lord, I want to be a willing vessel for you to flow through, there's all kinds of things that can happen in that willingness.
Yes, we come here with the mantle of prophet. It doesn't look like what sometimes people think what a prophet should look like. But I have individual words that God gave me, and I will share it. FYI, it is 11:59, and we are closing up here. There may be some of you here. Holy Spirit told me that you have a plan. You have a time that you need to go do something today. So like 12 o'clock, we're out of here. Got to go. We have a plan. Sometimes in a church setting, you'll feel like, oh, I'm not very spiritual if I do that. God wants you to know, nuh-uh. You're extremely spiritual. You're organized. You have a organizational timing and plan set in place. That is your skill. That is your talent. Like the fish, his talent was to hang on to that coin till it was time to release it to Peter to pay the taxes. Your talent is organization, time planning. If you leave when, like, let's say altar ministry is happening, that doesn't make you any less spiritual. Because you still came and you heard the word and allowed the word to sit in your heart to bear fruit. You are a blessed talent of organization. House needs you. This house needs you. So count it an honor to be an organizer. Eleanor is an organizer. To the point where I annoy her because I am free-spirited. Like driving up here and let's not use the map. Okay, let's use the map now because I think we're way out of the way. Oh, yes, we were. Hallelujah. I loved it though. I'm like, look at this beautiful countryside. No, we got to get somewhere. Talent is important. All right. Now this one is not to embarrass. And I thought it was for one person, but God just showed me this morning, it's two of you here. So I am going to ask you to stand, please, to hear this word, because by submitting to stand, you're submitting to say, yes, I will receive it. Sierra, if you could stand. Yep, that's right. I blame your parents because your parents have sowed into Adept Ministry secretly many times. Not many people have sowed into. I say it emotionally because it feels lonely, like a lonely fish. But your parents sowed into my ministry, and it's an honor that God gave me a word for you. Emma, this word also applies to you. I know. Oh, no. How dare you? I know. You're welcome. All right. And I do this, like, this isn't lightly. I do not do this lightly because I'm like, God, you know, some people don't like to be... publicly put on a spot. But this word from Holy Spirit that I got the word first before I got Sierra's face. And then this morning, the realization of Emma. You're misunderstood. You're like the fish with the buddies. It's like, what are you saying? I don't get it. I don't understand you. But you're multi-gifted. Like, you just get it, no matter what it is. You could probably be a mechanic to a construction builder to a psychologist to... Just kidding, by the way. You can do anything and everything. Why? Because you have been multi-gifted by the Lord. It is called the multicolored coat that Joseph received. Which isn't nice sometimes because some people get jealous. So when I knew Holy Spirit wanted me to get you to stand here, it's very carefully because we speak protection over you as this word comes forth. That you will not have a bunch of brothers that will throw you into slavery. or an extremely tall brother to do that, who's totally clueless to what I just said because he's looking at his phone. Not to put him out on the spot or anything, which I did. Those multi-skills and gifts are God's mantle in your lives. That's why you love color. You wear a multi-coat and you don't even realize it. You just love it. This is beautiful. Why? Because it's within you. You wear it very differently, but you do. And it's because you're meant for great authority and influence in God's divine time. I don't know if it's next year or 50 years from now. I don't know the timing. That's the Father's plan. But I do know in God's divine time, your multi-talent skill, which many times makes you feel alone, like you don't meet people's standards, like they can't understand you or grasp you, and you're like, why, right? But you have this artistic ability about you. You comprehend things. You want to be expressive in what you do, and you can anything you pick up, you will comprehend with ease and simplicity because it is the talent for the fact that you will have great authority and influence when God's divine time. So with that, can you please pray it out?
Yeah, so Father, we just pray into that word, Father, that it is settled and rooted, that it grow root and grow strong. Father, I pray that for Sierra and Emma, they are rooted in identity in you, that they are not shaken, that they will not be blown away like the wind, but because they are rooted in you, that they will stand firm and grow tall and beautiful and bear much fruit. And Father, as they are released into university life, Father, we pray that they are a light and a beacon of hope and that they can shine and radiate your truth and your word as it is on their lips. And that in that, Father, you are a God of creativity. You are a God of multi. And Father, that those talents, we just fan the flame in them in Jesus' name.
And I just got another one. And I'm not going to look at anybody, but you know who you are. Because I heard you right at the door say, as long as I can make money. That is a gift from God. God has gifted people to be like kingship, where you are tasked and talented for the ability of creating currency, means of substance and supply for the purposes of the kingdom. Religion has tried to make it an evil thing. Why? Because Satan, the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, would not want you to be wealthy, because if you, as a believer, especially a Jesus-loving person, you will then have the means to supply for the purpose of the good news to go forth. So it is a good thing that you have a desire to make money. It is a good thing to be a prosperous business person. When you put it in the proper context that Jesus, when he was a baby, was given a whole lot of gold. Everybody likes to talk about the frankincense and the myrrh, but he was given a whole lot of gold, which supplied his family for years. This isn't prosperity gospel, but this is what the scripture is saying, that there is an anointing for the purpose of supply. Just like we talked about this house, the King David generation that collected, so the King Solomon generation built. And I'll tell you, when Solomon built, it was extravagant, so much so that Queen Sheba traveled a long time with all kinds of spices and herbs to check out what he's got going on. Okay? So receive that word. It is an anointing of God.
If you feel just a weightiness and a heaviness, if there has been you feel that anxiety and fear and depression has tried to get a hold of your mind and your body, I ask you just to put your hand on your heart. And Lord, we just release and we just break that yoke of heaviness. Mm. We speak your hope and your life. We speak the lie of the enemy that would try and rob from seeing vision and future. And we speak over them that your river of living water flow from them, that joy will come out of them in every area of life, that they will have clear vision to see your plan in this season. And we identify where hopelessness comes from, and we silence its voice in Jesus' name.
Jesus, we love you. We are so in love with each other. You love us and we love you, but you first demonstrated this love. We are your bride. We learned to be disciples. We learned to be children of God for inheritance purposes. And now let us have the revelation to see in the scriptures the status of brideship. Just as Eleanor and I stand here, it's partnership. That you are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but there is a sense of we're not beneath you, we stand with you for your glory and your purposes. And let the brideship understanding be released in this house. Let the commending of faithfulness receive the acclamation and the affirmation of how awesome is it is to stand, having done all to stand, to continue to stand, therefore. We thank you for the honor of coming here, coming in a sense home to share that you allowed us to be your conduit. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask for the word and the encouragement word that you brought to just seal it, to bear fruit. That there is hope for the future. Good plans for each person here. Things for good. And that we can learn to count it joy, even though it might be difficult, but to count it joy when we go through trials, through tribulations, through hardships, because it's like bodybuilding where you rip the muscle. Well, that's not nice, but yet it then becomes defined and bigger. So our characters being trusting in you, defined and growing. We speak blessing over the leadership of this house, an understanding for the purpose of the next generation and this generation, a continuance in fellowship with love, a brotherhood, sisterhood of love that comes from you, Christ, in us, the hope of glory. And with that, if there's anyone who, after service, you would like us to pray with you, it would be an honor to come in agreement with whatever prayer you would like. Just see us after service.
Thank you. A couple of quick announcements. One is that if you are wanting to give to Jules and Eleanor, anything that's loose in the box will go to them, anything that's designated to them. Just put Jules or funny guy, whatever, and that'll go to him. Oh, yes. You want to talk about it?
I almost forgot. So Maranatha Church, when they celebrated 25 years, they created, it's kind of like a catalog, a history. So there's the congregational picture of them, some of them. Some weren't able to make it. And then within this, even though it's written in Nepali, there's testimonies, like Pastor Kalu gives his testimony and things like that. So it's really well done. And this also goes as a gift with the house. So